Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
Solan Crow.
And I'm Hot Flat Earth
Sauce.
Sauce.
You know what? You know what the fucked up thing about that is since you're a sauce, you are a liquid, and if you were to pour liquid on the ground, you would see that it goes over the sides of the spherical Earth.
If I was like so much sauce,
yeah, that'd be a large puddle because like you can have a flat surface in a small area.
If I was nearly the size of the Earth, and I was dumped onto the Earth, and then. Like, I was just like, oh, like, hey, what's up? I'm the Pacific Ocean. Okay, I'm up in the air. Okay, now I'm not, and I just fall on the ground.
Or like a Mrs. Butterworth sort of fucking...
But yeah. If it was flat Earth and we poured you into a bottle, a cat could just knock you off the edge.
No, that's impossible. There's no gravity. Can't have fucking... Flat Earth can't have gravity.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
That? Well, but...
Because what? Yeah. Isn't it a turtle is holding up the flat Earth on its back?
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
See?
Theory.
Or the elephant?
I don't know. That's like a... Pre-Greek
mythology. Or is it like a
right
cocktail
there.
Waitress, you know, like
it
holding
is.
Up the...
I heard that people were
it's
saying
like Aquaman
that
myths right there.
This is like the one science thing I heard is that the way we have like what we call gravity is just like that the flat Earth is constantly rising in space at the perfect speed. So it's like all the Earth, or the sun and the moon and all the shit that we see is rotating around the circle.
Right,
you know what I mean?
We're going around the galaxy.
It's going around the top of it. It's never like going below or around the circle, or, you know, the plate,
right?
Whatever. And but this whole plate that's you know a fictional and super believable. It's just flying up at the perfect rate of speed to give us 1g of downward force.
But say there's like no force pushing us up. Like wouldn't we be falling like a piece of paper just like
through
back
space?
And forth rocking? And you know there's like air blowing us up, the world up. Like wouldn't it like go at angles?
I
like,
wonder how many listeners we have left.
I don't know, but what I'm curious is, like, what is the shape of the flat Earth?
I think it's like a piece of paper, like 8 by 11 and a half.
Yeah? Is it like a rectangle with little holes punched in the fucking side?
It's a perfect circle. Perfect disc in every single way. Perfect. And there's no, yeah. And no, you know what, the oceans...
And God like, folded around a ball
like,
that he wants to bounce around.
It's like all the islands and all the magic artwork, whatever, where it has like, or like Avatar or something like that, where it's like... We're just floating, and then all of a sudden, there's just like waterfalls all around the side of it.
Right,
and the water somehow regenerates through rain.
Yeah,
through
like
rain. There's enough rain to
Titanfall
fucking do it.
Titanfall 2 style, where you're just
yes.
up on this platform.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Flat Earth.
Oh, well, I'm glad we solved that, guys. It was keeping me up all last night and part of the night before. So I'm glad we finally put the final nail in that coffin.
How is that going to come back?
Other ways that we could go on is how has your guys' week been?
Good segue, bro.
Oh, baby. So this whole thing comes up because last night I didn't have anything to fucking do and I was just being bored and I got on the internet and just like, I'm like, I want to look up what fucking factual anything do these flat earth people have? Like, what is there a scientist in the world, like a totally has a pedigree, and then all of a sudden, through his research, is like, you know what? It is flat. I wanted to see, like, who's that one guy? And so I went digging, and it was a big waste of fucking time, is what that was. So,
he's like, man, they forgot to carry the one, and that means flat Earth.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it. He's like, damn, you got one miscalculation.
He's like, in the you know, library, you know, way down there in the Ghostbuster.
Yep. EMC squared.
Yep.
Yep. Equals MC squared. There you go. Okay, so I'm gonna take it over a little bit because I don't really have much to fucking talk about. I did play laser tag. Can you believe that shit?
You didn't.
Same place.
Just a little sweaty, fat, old.
Yeah, I didn't get first though.
Mm.
First place was like the guy.
Yeah,
like the guy. He had headphones in the whole time, and he was like,
yeah, he did.
Overweight teenager, super sweaty. He's like going way too fast. The guy, like, he's in combat.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's in Afghanistan at that point, I think. Like, blurred vision and just fucking going for it.
He had a Sailor Moon t-shirt on.
Yeah, Sailor Moon t-shirt. He had a blindfold on.
Besides, like, the U.S. military and in Afghanistan, like, laser tag is more technology than Afghanistan's do.
Okay. Settle down. Settle down, Spaz.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, maybe.
There's a lot of dune huts there.
They're still using
It's like they shot Star Wars in that fucking, you know, that's where Luke was born. Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, two moons.
Yeah, all they have is like moisture farms out there.
So
big rats,
blue milk.
Did the laser tag. Those were a lot of fucking fun, and we were like pre-gaming in the parking lot like a bunch of teenagers.
Of course,
which is pretty sick.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I had a margarita that was in a like coffee fucking what do you want to call that? The fucking little...
a coffee cup?
No, but it was the thermos, right? Is that what it's called? Yeah. And I bring it out, and then the chick that I'd never met before, she's like, oh, sick. And then she brings out like a flask of Jack Daniels. I'm like, wow, this is a good group of people. Opposite, like, I like this.
I thought you were going to admit that like the girl having the Jack Daniels and you having a little margarita in a coffee
cup. That's all I had at the house. That's all I was. Yeah, I didn't fucking...
Well, I have this fucking thermos that I take to work. Yeah. What do we have in the fridge?
And this badass has a flask and and Jack Daniels.
No, it was
she's
badass.
Got bigger balls than I do.
Yeah, she has a chick.
We just have that margarita mix that comes in a bag.
Yeah.
He does have limaritas in his fridge.
Limaritas fucking garbage, dude. Give me a headache, bro.
Doesn't stop you from drinking them.
Yeah. I'm really desperate. Really, like, pop-off vodka and warm beer desperate.
I just had pop-off.
Yes, you did. So that was something. And then, I just did like regular stuff. I went to a graduation for USD. USD is cool, whatever. People are smart. Good for them. My cousin, smart little fuckhead. He almost didn't graduate because he had like some overseas, semester overseas, like in Spain or
abroad.
Something like that. Abroad. And he knocked over someone's motorcycle drunk, because that's what you do.
Right.
You know, when you're abroad.
It's a moped.
And then a cop like tried to, I don't know, arrest him or seduce him or something like that. And so he basically was like getting handsy with the cop. So he was arrested in another country, which is totally what
you
want to happen.
Had a choice.
And so the school kicked him out and then he got reinstated. But I was like, dude, you almost really fucked yourself.
Wow.
Like, because he had like scholarships and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, maybe just don't get drunk and fight a cop in fucking Spain. That's probably the only advice I can give you is, like, do whatever else you want. But anyways.
I mean, that's generally, like, a good rule of thumb here in America.
Yeah.
You know? So no just shit. Go ahead and take that with you.
No shit.
Wherever you go in life.
So I'm at work now, right? I'm working on that thing I was talking about, the goddamn bus station elevators, who gives a fuck. I learned something that I never fucking knew. Bridges, bro. Bridges. I'm going to fucking blow everyone's mind right now. Everyone's turning this shit off. Inside of a bridge, and most bridges, like over freeways, whatever, there's like a channel inside there that's like 4 feet tall, 3.5 feet tall.
Okay.
And like, so there's like a manhole cover. You lift it up and you can go inside of the fucking bridge and kind of hands and knees are just like way bent over, walk underneath the fucking bridge. Like the actual amount of like concrete material to actually hold everyone's weight up is only like 5 feet or whatever, but then there's this weird big belly part to it or whatever that you don't notice what it is. It just looks like part of the bridge.
So,
but inside that is just fucking hollow, the whole thing.
Basically, they're pulling the old fucking Doritos bag of chips routine.
What's up
on
with that?
Us.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, you guys, 1,000 tons of concrete, and they're like, we used fucking 400 tons. Idiots paid for all of it.
I just farted inside the channel.
Yeah, it's filled by farts. So yeah, but you get to fucking. That's why we run all of our conduit and all that shit to like power stuff up. I was like, what? So now I'm doing. This whole week has been me inside of this thing with like it's confined space work. It kind of sucks because like you have risk of like not having oxygen. Like of course you have like the little sniffer technology fucking bullshit that like reads the air and tells you what's in it or whatever. But I'm basically like under the bridge while cars are driving over me.
Are you singing Red Hot Chili Peppers the whole time?
What's that?
Are you singing Red Hot Chili Peppers the whole time?
Oh, dude, that's a good song.
When you just said under
that's
the bridge,
good.
Man.
That's good, man. I was in the bridge, though. In the bridge.
But you said under.
Yeah, I did say under. Damn it.
You're under
part
of it.
Under the street, under the asphalt. You're
under part of it.
Yeah, that blew my mind a little bit, though. So we're doing a shit ton of work in there. And, yeah, it's interesting. But like the apprentice I'm working with, he's like, I don't like this. Like he's never done confined space work, and he's like, I just feel like it's gonna fucking collapse, or I'm gonna suffocate, or all this bad shit's gonna happen.
Feeling like rumblings from the cars.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah, you can all that shit, all that shit and more. Yeah, it's pretty fucking gnarly though. So this morning we had like an all hands meeting, and you know, long story short, there was a fucking our safety guy is a real piece of work, and like he let everybody on a stretch and flex, and like he just fucked it all up really bad. He did like. All these, what did I tell you guys? Like, he did this thing where you, like, stretch out your hands. Like, you literally just, like, jazz hands. And then in the middle of it, he was like, all right, now do the other hand. But this whole time, we were doing both hands, including him. And they said the other hand, and we're both doing it. I'm like, this guy has, like, no idea what he's fucking talking about.
Yeah, we're trying right now. It's like, it was a lot funnier, like, you showing us a person, like, get a visual of what he's doing.
It was just
hard to go through on the radio here, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, right. It's a little rough what I'm saying now, but it was really bad. And so we get past that. And then this guy, which I don't know who this fucking guy is, he's like in a button-up shirt or whatever, he's talking to us about whatever safety stuff and about how the company's doing, blah, blah, blah. And then he mentioned, like, hey, if anyone's, like, we're looking for like the next people that are coming in the office, like the next whatever. We're trying to like get people's names and see like what people want to do and see if we can kind of get them in like classes we can provide and like, you know, get the stepping stones ready for when we have like a big, we have like a lot of work coming up.
Right.
So they want to make sure they can fill positions because they don't have enough people yet. So after the whole thing is done, I go up to him and I'm like, hey, yeah, I don't know who the fuck the guy is, but I'm like, all right, yeah, so like here's what I've done. I've done this transportation work. I've done this. I'm looking for whatever. I'm giving all my information, whatever. And his mind's kind of being a little bit blown because he's not used to, they don't have electricians that work there.
Right.
And so when I was talking about how an electrician was doing transportation work, that doesn't normally happen. There's only like a few people that do that because they normally hire another class. He was like, oh, fuck, that's crazy. I didn't know that you guys even do this stuff. And now, whatever. So he's like, okay, well, let me get your name and number. So he's like, okay, take mine. I text him, whatever. And so he's going to like, he seemed excited to like get me to be some kind of lead on some future thing or whatever, you know?
Nice.
And I'm like, all right, cool. And so I go leave that, go to the job, and I'm talking to the apprentice like, oh yeah, I was talking to so-and-so about, you know, maybe getting me in the office or doing some stuff on this future work. And he's like, oh shit. He's like, oh cool. I didn't know you would, you know, you fucking had the balls to go talk to the owner. And I was like, Oh, what? That was the owner the whole time? I was like, oh, fuck, the owner of the whole company? This, like, it's a big company. Yeah. So I'm like, I probably wouldn't have done all that. Like,
he was probably surprised because nobody actually looks him in the eye when they're talking to him.
I just thought he was like...
So he's, like, super impressed by
this
guy's got a set on him.
I literally thought he was just a project manager
that
just, like, works in the head office, and he came down just for things I've never seen him before.
You're like, hey, Jeff, come here. I want to talk to you about that office.
No, he's literally the one owner of the company for the past, like... 25 years, whatever. I'm like, oh, fuck me. So that's cool, though. That's cool. We exchange numbers, bro. Numbers. So that
suck
was
his dick.
That was sweet, though. It felt like it's exciting because it felt like a big turning point, like a possible really big turning point for me to make that move and him be sort of excited about it. And like it could be that one conversation could be, you know, the little butterfly effect that actually gets me somewhere in the next couple years or whatever. I mentioned to him that, like, even if something like this started, I said, like, I don't want to do it right now. I've only been in the company a month. So I'm like, no, I want to get, like, acclimated. Let me do this thing that I'm doing now, be the lead on this other stuff that I'm doing for the company right now. And then once we move on to something else, like, I'd love to help you out and, you know, whatever. Do whatever I can do that's special.
Help you out by helping me out.
Yeah. And he took that all, like, gracefully and shit. So, but once again, I just didn't know there was a fucking owner. I thought I was just talking to the project manager.
Good.
So I'm hoping
balls didn't shrivel because you didn't know. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, once I was in the truck and I was driving to the job, I was like, oh fuck, who does that? You know, I don't know. It's fucking.
There is something about talking to an owner of a company when you're, you know, one of the workers.
It is. It's definitely, you know, brand new, and like I wouldn't mind saying hi and how you doing, and you know, I don't know, ask them really boring questions, but I just like stepped in there and I don't know. It was weird. I wouldn't have definitely had the confidence to say all the things I said. If I even did have the confidence, it would be me just kind of like spitting out resume information and then just walking the fuck away, basically, rather than like I was like telling him how it was kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So talking to him like real man-to-man shit. Anyways, so I'm hoping that I can listen to this, you know, a year from now and have this fucking badass spot. So whatever position that may be, but I'm hoping I can fucking do that. So I'm excited about that. Want to bring that up because, like I said, I want to hear it. I want to hear me in a year from now go like, "Oh, I got a fucking sweet ass job now."
Oh my god, it worked.
Yeah. So
I want to listen back on this in 6 months.
Would even fired?
And then have the knowledge that you accidentally sent him a dick pic. And it all went downhill.
That wouldn't be good.
It wasn't the owner. It was the janitor. Dressed
not
real
even
sharp,
your
though.
Not even your dick.
No. Yes, someone else
hot dog dick. Pick.
Hey, can I get your guys' dicks? Like,
no. Well, I mean, you don't have access. You already have.
Yeah, you already have access to my chair.
Hey, I have the number of my phones if I ever walk away to the bathroom. If you guys want to go buck wild.
That'd be so fucked up.
It's like
we were assholes. We wouldn't go that far.
It could be like some weird like blackmail or something you guys are doing to me. Like, if you don't fucking, you know, I'll tell you cheated on your fucking girlfriend.
You give me that force
times,
of will,
you know?
you're fucked.
Yeah. By the way, I haven't cheated on my girlfriend, but that'd be some kind of fun blackmail shit right there.
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, though. I mean, I did some other stuff, but that's pretty much what my most exciting time. That was actually today, too, so I'm a little, like, pumped up from that, you know, hoping that something can come of it. But work's good, man. Fucking work truck is sick. I get to, like, go drive out and go get lunch and shit and, like, sit in the AC and do a little paperwork and have the fucking errand boy go do shit for me. Like, we're doing some, like, digging and removing brick pavers and shit like that today to expose that manhole cover that goes in the bridge. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have to do this shit. I can, like, totally just send out people to do this for me. I feel like I'm in a good fucking spot.
Yeah.
Like a man. Like a man. I get to just get drunk at work and shit. No, just kidding.
Fucking eyeball and shit.
I'm going to do that this Sunday. I'm doing a little electric work for my buddy. And he's like, yeah. I joked with him being like, oh, it's, he's like, oh, because my wife now, who's like, he just got married recently. He goes, yeah, she's starting up her new like child care company, blah, blah, blah. And like the first kids come on Monday. So like, I'm really appreciative. You're going to come over and do it this Sunday. I'm like, oh, so now I have leverage. Now it costs double.
He's like, yeah, oh. Do
like,
it.
He's like, fuck you. You can have the beer in my fridge. I'm like, okay, that'll cover the double.
Yeah, that's it. That's
now you owe me
one an hour.
Two tall cans of PBR.
Perfect.
That's worth it to me.
Yeah, seriously, though. Another thing. Officially, I'm not going to GP Vegas.
Boo!
So, yeah, it has been decided.
You're going to message Cold-Blooded back, like, yeah, this is your announcement.
He'll listen to this. Yeah. And also, you are a stalker. And you're not invited to Knife's house no matter what, ever. Yep. And or my house, or I just don't want you to come to any of our events.
You know what? I like stalkers. You can come to mine.
Yeah.
And you're better than the last stalker I had. She was awkward.
Yeah, fucking bitches be crazy. Yeah.
Broke my car window, that fucking hole.
Really? Too. Yeah, that should happen?
I don't.
It's pretty fucked.
Yeah, it was a whole situation.
I'd love to hear it sometime. Anyway.
Morty.
Yeah, that's it. I don't have anything to say. I'm just excited. I'm a little giddy.
Speaking of PBRs, I just got a text prior to us casting about our band playing another show at that same shitty little fucking rundown bar venue.
Yeah, that's a pretty good, pretty typical venue for smaller bands who like, because they just want people to play. Like, they don't have like a discrimination on who plays. They just want live music there.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, it's a, I like shitty little punk bars, you know what I mean? There was this bar called The Shakedown over in Point Loma.
It's just a good name.
Yeah, and they did the fucking same thing where it's just like, really? It was too small of an area, and then when good bands did come, it was just like packed, and you know, it was just a good time. So yeah, I'm not like, so after the show last time, I stayed for most of the show, but I left before the last band played because I was just like, fuck, dude, 5 hours in a bar is just like too much for me. And it was mostly just because of the drunk people. Like, I don't mind like the stale fucking stadium beer smell, you know what I mean? But just like some of those drunk fucking white trash motherfuckers like coming up and telling me story of their life. And I'm just like, I don't. I have a choice whether I want to be here or not, and I don't want to be here. I'm getting the fuck out of here. So anyways, I'm excited for that, but I probably won't stay for the rest of the show just because, ugh.
Yeah, I'm just understandable, man. You gotta handle your shit, too, and like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but, this many years clean now, and you don't need to be around that shit either.
Well, yeah. When I went to your show, I was like, it's not really my group of people, you know? Like, I'll handle it.
You were their group of people either when you show in fucking shorts and sandals.
Okay? Yeah, I was drinking bourbon. Well, I was drinking beer. I had a little tiny glass of bourbon.
It's always weird when you, like, mix groups of friends like that. So it was, like, you guys and then, like, our listeners and then the people from the band and then people from recovery. So it was like all sorts of different mix, you know, and then people from where I work, you know, and like all this weird shit. So I was like, oh God, it's so nerve wracking that I'm not even nervous about it anymore. Like it is what it is.
I forgot that one of my favorite parts of the night. I don't think you were with us at that moment. Like you walked in the side door and myself and a couple other guys started coming back in and I walked in the door. I started ordering a drink right by the door there at the curve. And there's these two dudes sitting there at the party of theirs. I think they're like twins, or whatever. I'm standing there, like, wait, order a drink. And if, you know, before the bartender comes over for me to order, the guy goes, looks at me, and goes, "Hey, man, just get a cold one. I won't tell anybody, any of your recovery buddies." I'm ordering a beer. I'm not a quitter. It was just a funny ass little moment. Like that, I don't know. I found it hilarious. It was just stupid and like it was a good little like dumb joke.
You should just be like, "All right,
oh, really, really permission?"
Yeah. Fucking stupid drunk guy at the bar gave me permission. All right. What else have I been doing this week? Fucking.
It's on the game front. You got anything going
on? Just like past couple weeks, hitting up fucking Titanfall. Started playing Star Wars: The Force Unleashed 2 last night. It was like free download on the Xbox Store. That game was like actually pretty
fucking
cool.
It's not bad. Those couple of games aren't bad. It's not something that's like some kind of fantastic game. But as far as a Star Wars game, because there's only been so many that had half decent that have been made,
right?
It's not a bad game. It's not
early 2000s was a good part for Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, fucking all the N64 shit, you know what I mean, that they had.
My favorite part is you actually play as a bad guy rather than, like, having to be on the light, on the light side.
Right.
So, I got around to watching some streams of Friday the 13th.
Okay.
You right?
Yeah, this is what I was trying to tell you. Not that I had some huge recommendation for the game, but it looks interesting to me, but I was just telling him that I feel like it might have that short-sightedness to it where it's, I believe there's not going to be any campaign to it, so there's only going to be, like, right now, it's not released yet, it's pre-played, so, you know, people have to get some...
It's got a lot of bugs. Like, I was watching, I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah, so it's, you know, they're getting the stream out. A lot of games are doing that now, they give, like, the early access codes.
They want streamers and shit to play it and get it popular and hyped up and all that.
Like, right now, you can only be Michael Myers and play at Camp Crystal Lake. You can't be Freddy yet, you can't play other locations. But from there, like, yeah, there's going to be a short-sightedness to it, being that however many maps there are. There won't be a campaign, I don't believe. And so, like, I feel like it could suffer from that. Other than that, though, like, there's a lot of things about that game that look fun to me.
I'll tell you, I was watching it, and I'm going, like, man, this game is, like, very basic. And I'm sure there's more coming, but right now it's, like, you are, you know, there's 5-6 people or whatever, and you run around and find items to, like, protect yourself.
It's 8 people maps. One person is the killer, 7 people run around.
Okay, either way, the one I was watching was like, they're playing 6, you know?
Yeah, whatever. This is all private.
8-player maps. So, and like, it was just, first of all, Jason or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Michael. Jason.
You can like teleport. So like, if you're like walking slow, you can like see a person up ahead 40 feet. And, like, somehow teleport to the location and just, like, grab them and kill them right there.
Well,
so I was watching them do that, and I'm like, is that, like, a power-up that you can use every once in a while, or, like...
I'll give you the reason why that's in the game. So, yes, it is a loaded... Well, you can't, like, constantly
loadout. You can choose different ways to, like, do stuff, but...
And also, you know, a 40-minute, like, a 40-second, like, wait time or whatever it is. So the reason that's part of the game, though, is to give it that horror movie feeling, like when you're running from the bad guy and suddenly he appears in front of you on the road, like, how the fuck did he get there? So it's giving you that feel of, because also you as the killer move slower than the people, like they can run away from you, like they have stamina issues, but they can run away from you, so you're slower. So it's trying to give you that horror feeling where,
yeah,
how the fuck did he get there?
Holy now that fuck, part feels good, but the game looks like, to me, it looks really fucking boring. Honestly, it looks like there's nothing going on. It's like, you're the bad guy, you walk slow, sometimes you can use his power up, and then everyone's just running around you, like, with their bats, chainsaws, setting up traps, whatever, but, like, that's it. Like, that's the whole fucking thing is what I saw. And so people are running around, and there's running around from Jason or whatever, and then finally he can catch one of them, kill him, and then he moves on to the next one, and there's, like, nothing else about it. That's literally the only thing you do.
What was that game with the monster, and then you either play as the monster or you play as, like, the 4 people?
Evolve.
It kind of reminds me of that, to where it's very singular, focused.
Now, imagine, like, this is all just my one perspective, right? But imagine that, but, like, way less stuff to do, way more boring. Like, only have these basic weapons you can pick up that don't really do that much. Just bats and shit like that, you know, for the most part. And then the guy, everything moves super slow. And it's not like you get to the end and you're, like, have to, you know, do the whole, like, defense of the power grid or whatever, and you fight the monster and you're all teaming up and figuring things out. It seemed more like maybe you can double up on them, you know, if you can get 2 people in the same spot. So, like, one person gets captured by Jason and one person hits him with a bat or something like that. And then when you hit him with a bat, all he does is fall over, and it has, like, a timeout mode for, like, 10 seconds, and he gets back up. And I was like, I feel like I'm missing something, is what I'm getting at. It feels really boring, even though the idea, like, it does seem frightening and it does seem awesome, but the execution, I was like, this looks really fucking boring. So I'm hoping that I can watch more stuff, have a better opinion of it, see it, like, evolve and go to more maps and all this stuff, and maybe I can get a real good appreciation of it. But right now, I'm like, this looks like I have no interest in playing it.
They should actually have, like, an achievement. Like, if you can have sex with the awkward teenage boy or girl, like, before he gets to you, like, it's a... you get some sort of Xbox achievement for it.
That would be better.
If you can get a dry, inexperienced hand job by the lake under the moonlight, then you get a bonus hand job.
Yeah.
Morty.
Yeah. So I'll tell you the best part of the game so far is that when there's a loading screen, it has just like an image, just, you know, like any other loading screen. It's just an image from the game or something like that. And they're fucking awesome. They're like way gruesome. Or, like, one of them was, like, had some fucking titties in it and shit like that. It was, like, pretty cool. It set the... When I first started watching it, I'm like, oh, this is setting the mood. Like, this shit looks awesome. And then the gameplay itself, I was like, nah, I don't think I want to do this. This is not great.
Yeah,
I don't have a
super like high like, oh my god, this game looks amazing. I think there's gonna be more to the game. I think there's gonna be scenarios that are gonna be, you know, put into the game and ways to play it, and then the different versions of the bad guys and the things you're playing against. I think there's a little bit to it where you have to get your to really enjoy it, or to have that little bit more of a excitement level to it, like I do, where you have to kind of get yourself in that mode of enjoying it for what it is, and like not being too greedy is not the word, but like you know, we're so used to these epic games that have like so many options of things to do,
right?
That it's harder to sometimes step backwards and appreciate a game that's a little more on a basic level, but that's also trying to be true to how the movies work.
Right. That's all fine. So I enjoy a lot of the stuff about it, but I'm just saying the execution is still too basic for me. Like, it feels too similar to other game type modes or whatever else.
I agree. That's what I said from the get go.
Like, it shouldn't be like one mode in the game or something like that.
There's
going to
be like a short sightedness to it. I feel like that's been his biggest problem, is that not enough things to do, not enough other levels or whatever's going to have you, not enough campaign or anything. But I think for them trying to stay true to what they're trying to do for about like trying to make it the movies and how it is, like it's set in the time period with the movies, are like the first, like the level you're playing on is like in the 70s,
right,
and whatnot. And like, I just find it. I enjoy what they did with the game and how they didn't make it overly flashy.
Yeah,
in
no,
a
that
sense.
Part.
Like, yeah, you could do all kinds of whatever extra shit, but they're trying to stay true to the time period, true to the movies, and I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I believe it will be a short-sighted game, but there's just something about it that, you know, you turn the lights off, turn the music up, like it has that creepy feeling to it. You know, it can get you this like, oh fuck, you turn around, suddenly he's there behind you.
Yeah,
if you get yourself into it. But again, for a long period of time, I don't think it'll last. But there's something about the game that, like, I'm not going to buy it off the bat. But if it comes like Redbox, I'm going to rent it and check it out, kind of shit. So, like, I don't know. I get everything you're saying. I don't disagree. It's just one of those mindset things, I think.
Yeah. So I want to switch gears a little bit with before we go back to Knife. Far Cry. You guys ever play that game? Far Cry?
I've never played it.
I played Far Cry 4.
Familiar with it.
Right. So I played like 1 through 3, I believe.
I played like 2 briefly.
Yeah. Yeah. So Far Cry 5 just got announced yesterday, mm-hmm. and it's really weird premise. It's basically the enemy in the game is a religious cult, which is like such a it's so weird. Like the whole trailer for it is like basically these people like sacrificing women to like whatever religious belief it is, and there's like these churches, but they're like kind of more. You know, they're just doing really bad, evil shit inside of them, you know, for, like I said, cult stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like you're some kind of rebellious outside squad in this very, very Amish.
It's like set like the Montana or Utah hills.
Something like, you see the trailer? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know about it a little bit. So, like,
dude, it's so what a weird premise. Like a fucking religious cult.
I agree,
cult. It's so
but
weird.
At the same time, like they wanted to bring it to America because it's an American setting, like I said. But it's like Montana mountains is basically where it's set. And so to do that, like every other Far Cry game is in some fucking drug war torn fucking shithole third world country, and it's all about like a drug lord or
an exotic location, but then of course it has
that's what all of them are about. So they wanted to change it up and bring it to America.
Yeah, that's fine.
How do you do that? Like, we don't really like, yeah,
it's
there
way
are,
original, dude. I'll tell you that. Yeah, much way original.
Like, we don't have like so some weird overall massive like drug leaders that are known to everybody. Like, there is no major cartels in America that are a known factor. Like
El Chapo, bro.
That's
El Chapo.
Mexico, not America.
Well, you know, he gets money from America.
Well, so I mean, there's all
so
those
like, how do you do that?
God dang moonshiners out there in the hills.
Well, that's half legal now. If you do about it right, you can do moonshiner.
Well, how do they make the show? The
crystal
legal moonshine
meth?
Show on.
Well, those ones are doing illegally, but there's legal moonshiners now.
Oh, man, that's fucking crazy, dude.
Crystal meth ain't legal unless you fuck your sister.
Doesn't make any sense. Thanks for adding.
Doesn't have to.
Thanks for adding it to the conversation.
Oh, done.
Sorry for interrupting you.
No, that's okay.
I just don't want you to spit out more jibber jabber like that, dude.
Like say jabber something.
Yeah, I fucking pity the fool, bro.
Jibber jabber. No, that's it.
Good.
I was just trying to keep the intro short, just because we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, we do.
Because we like to play Magic more than we like to podcast.
Yeah, you know.
Bro,
take it away, baby.
It's mostly centered around my son. I'll get that in a second. So I had a show I got to recommend to you guys and to anybody, really, because as far as BBC...
This
is on Netflix, so... Yeah, I love Rescue Me.
Sherlock.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Legitimately. So BBC shows, typically, like, there's not a whole lot of good quality content from BBC, you know, British Broadcasting Company shows. There's a lot of too cheeky, not, like, legit stories, just, like, whatever. There's some things you're going to enjoy if you just get, like, the comedic value from it, not the production value, or whatever. But Sherlock, my wife watched it, like, a while back, because she's been trying to get me to watch it, so I finally sat down, and it's, like, now 4 seasons on Netflix, and then, like, 3 episodes a season, but every episode is at least an hour and a half long.
It's fucking long.
And so, basically, every episode is a movie in itself.
Jesus.
And it is. It's, like, one story, one set of bad guys, whatever else.
And it kind of goes through. There's different things. Like, there's different stories each time, but Moriarty's always been the main bad guy to Sherlock. That is his nemesis. But Benedict Cumberbatch is Sherlock, and honestly, the show is fucking really good.
No, I've seen the show. I actually just watched another episode, like, 2 nights ago, or maybe even last night. I don't fucking remember. But, no, the show's damn good.
Yeah.
It's not really, like
mid-season 3 right now.
But. Okay. It's not for me. Like, I know it's, like, not... Even though I can see something that's quality, you know, it doesn't mean that it really sparks my interest, and it doesn't. But I can give the show credit that it is a... It's a solid, you know...
Yeah.
8 out of 10 show, 8 and a half out of 10 show. It's a good show.
Good production, good quality, very good writing, very good stories. What
they
wanted to do,
they fucking knocked it out of the park, for sure.
Yeah, they did a very good job. And it's a good, they did a really great job of bringing Sherlock into the 21st century kind of thing. Like they did a very good job with that. And
it's clever. It's got a sense of humor to it. Like, there's just... It checks a lot of the boxes, man. Checks a lot of the boxes. It's a fucking good show. Benedict come on his back. Fucking, he's a pretty damn good actor, man. That guy's he's good. He makes a show. So, also, the guy that's from Fargo or whatever, right? Whatever the other guy is. What's his name?
Watson.
His name is. Well, no, thank you.
His name is not important because it's hard. It's a basic name that you're not gonna remember.
Yeah, it's fucking Brian Jones. So, anyways, he's fucking an excellent actor as well.
Yeah,
he plays that Watson part perfectly. It's like how some actors just have like their fucking shtick, and that's what his is. He plays that like timid, but like will surprise you every once in a while guy. You know, so like underdog kind of guy. He's really good at the show. So.
You know Brian Jones?
Fucking Brian Jones. I don't know what his name is.
I watched it today, so I was trying to remember his name because I knew I was going to talk about it, and I couldn't remember his name. Yeah. It's
fucking
very
Tim Howard. It's Stephen...
Rob Ball. Johnson.
Yeah, it's Rob Johnny.
Besides that, fuckers, my son's 5th birthday was this week. On Tuesday, he turns 5 years old.
Woo!
So it was pretty fun. So he had school that day. So my wife, myself, and my mom went in and surprised, you know, in the class they have like a surprise reader for, you know, at one point in the year, each one of the kids, like family member, can come in and read a book to the class kind of thing.
Oh, you went to go, well, don't show me that. I don't want to see that. That's, dude, I was cutting a little bit of wood for his story.
Yeah, okay,
about his child.
Reading
and,
books.
Now all of a sudden,
sorry.
Seeing adult women is not really doing it for me anymore. Sorry.
Those aren't women.
What's that? Well, you know what I mean. Whatever the fuck.
So, books and stuff.
Did you just assume their gender?
Yeah, my bad.
And you were wrong?
No homo. Yeah, what's up?
So, I went in there to surprise reader. First birthday, we also brought party bags in for all the little kids and everything. And I went in there and read Where the Wild Things Are, which is my favorite kid's book.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
Actually, that all sounds kind of fun. Like the
pretty cool. And I had to sit there and, you know, read the kids the book. And I have actually have, ever since my son was born, I have Max from Where the Wild Things Are tattooed on my shoulder. And so, like, that was for my son because, for me, I was Max growing up. You know, the wild kid who always came home, basically, though. And so, like, for me, like, having my son born, like, now, you know, my son is Max on my shoulder where I'm the wild thing. So my son,
you know who the monsters were? Extended family. Late at night. Coming in and, you know, from the closet and,
So I thought it was funny. I even showed the kids that. Yeah. Like, I even told them the same story.
This is his what do you want to call it? Your, like, the place you feel protected? The place you feel safe? Your safe place, I guess? That's what this story is from because of the... All the real shit that happened in his life, touching. Growing up and all the touching.
Yeah.
All
I didn't have your uncle.
But maybe you did. But you will have his uncle. Just gotta buy him some dinner. Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
That joke was like a good 30 seconds of rape and kids' books. Tell me more about your kid.
Oh, I hate you so much. So, after that, he came home, opened his birthday presents and stuff, and he got some cool shit, you know, lightsaber, some of, you know, good stuff, Harry Potter outfit and everything he likes. Best thing he got, though, my brother, you know, and my mom, whatever, got him a You know, Air Hogs have the Millennium Falcon, so you have the drone Millennium Falcon.
The what? Air Hogs?
It's a brand. The Air brand. Hogs.
Yeah, I'm thinking of what it is. Like a Nerf brand kind of thing, right?
It's similar but style. It's like for Air Hogs shit. Is around, but it was like, you know, it was more like kids, originally it was like the helicopters. You had the rubber bands, you like, you know, wind them up and they'd fly in the air kind of thing,
right?
And they had like the ones where you like pull a twist tie, basically, where you crank the engine.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it has little teeth on it.
That
or
was original Air Hog type stuff.
Gotcha.
And if you guys haven't seen it, you'd love it. It's fucking a drone style Millennium Falcon. You can literally with the remote control fly a Millennium Falcon around
from a cell phone.
No,
from like its own
remote. Like a remote control, like a car. It's a drone.
I mean, I'd buy it and use it for a day for sure.
Oh, it's fucking, it looks sweet. I almost bought a bunch of times. Well, what I didn't know is they also made a TIE fighter of this fucking drone. So my son and I are now have a TIE fighter fucking drone. It's
nice.
It's going to take a hot man to figure out how to fly because it is actually pretty difficult, but it is fucking awesome.
Well, I mean, true to nature, TIE fighters are really hard to fly.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
They're notoriously hard to fly.
Based on how those guys fly them. Jesus.
Yeah. Can I show you that stupid meme where it was from the Force Awakens movie? No. And it has the part where it's like, can you fly a TIE fighter? And then the next scene was like, no. And then it had the credits. Where it's like, you know, there's always parts of the movie where, like, if one thing went wrong, it's just like, oh, you just get captured, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And then the movie's over.
Yeah.
It's a stupid fight. They had a bunch of memes like that where it's like, what is the one that from episode one where, like, Anakin was, like, getting purchased or whatever? His freedom was getting purchased, so he had, like, win the race or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had the same thing where it's like, I'll give you, like, 20,000 credits. And then the guy was like, yeah, okay, money's money. And then, like, that's, you know, end of the movie. It's like, always...
I was like, hey, is there a trash chute around here somewhere? Yeah, yeah. No.
Yeah, exactly.
End of movie.
It's exactly
that. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, I got shot.
We're cornered. Oh, okay. Fuck, we're captured. Okay, end of the movie. So always shit like that. It's pretty funny. They make good memes. I like memes.
From there...
I'm a meme machine.
So that was Tuesday. On Wednesday, we took him to Disneyland for the first time. And, like... My wife had wanted to take him previously before, and I was told her, like, no, we're not going to take him until he can actually remember the trip.
I feel the same. I have these discussions with people, with other parents and shit like that. Other parents. Parents that are, you know, other people. And okay. About the same thing, I'm like, man, I hope I don't turn into that parent that, like, gives a shit about, you know, I hope I can just maybe wait till they're fucking 6 years old. Yeah. And not, like, do the trips and all the expensive shit.
They're not going to remember it.
They're not going to fucking remember, right?
Time. It's not worth it getting younger.
When I go on trips, I'm just going to leave them at home, like, until they're, like, seven.
Yeah,
and they do all their chores and they appreciate me.
So before
all those things are checked boxes, then we're doing it.
So before going like the quick story, the Disneyland stuff. Like first off, my son's pretty damn awesome. Like you go through there and watch a bunch of the kids like having all kinds of hissy fits, all kinds of major problems, and he was fine the entire day.
That's
a couple small little like yell at us tiffs when we're standing in line for a little long, but nothing that lasted more than 5 seconds. So he's giving us an angry look and then he's done.
So did you get him like a hat or any kind of like?
I'll get into stuff.
Oh, cool. My bad.
So, like, the first thing we do, real quick also. So, this whole trip was fun as shit, and my wife, myself, my mom took him up there. And so it was a great time. You know, it was fun watching him. He had a blast. However, we were there for fucking 13 hours. That is a goddamn long day at Disneyland.
That Jesus should be Christ. Illegal.
I was like...
Yeah, you should be like a noon till 8 or something like that. Or maybe you watch the whatever show.
We got there like
show.
8 a.m. and, you know, fucking...
Are they open at 8?
They're open like 6 or something.
Oh,
or
fuck. 7, I thought they were open at like 10. Jesus Christ.
And so it was like, you know, after 8 hours, I was like, okay, I'm about ready. But it's my son's birthday. I'm not going to try to force the issue here. And 5 more hours go by. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm just dying at this point. Like, I'm just done.
You're like, of all days to wear high heels.
No, I wear Chucks. And they're not very supportive.
Yeah, all those Chucks and all that shit, those shoes look fucking great. But yes, like wearing them for too long with literally just like rubber sole and no padding.
That is not a walking shoe.
No, it's not. Like I've always bought Vans like sneakers, you know, where they're mostly like they'll have a lot of padding. And the most recent pair I bought is just where it's just like one piece of fabric. And I'm like, I regret this completely because same thing. You go out and you want to go, say like the San Diego Fair is starting up, you know, Delmar Fair. I imagine that those are the shoes I'm going to have to wear, and I'm going to be fucking frustrated as shit. I'm going to feel like a chick at a fucking downtown bar, you know, like, why am I doing this to myself?
For me, I'm not a sneakers man. I will never own a pair of Skechers or shit like that. So, like, it's either Chucks, engineer boots, or Doc Martens. That's, like, all
What's engineer boots? What do you mean?
So think of, like, a cowboy boot with the rectangle toe.
Okay.
They're, like, biker's boots.
Okay, gotcha. They're like work boots almost, right? But they're
made
for fashion,
boots.
Not fucking work.
Well, I mean, fashion, yes, but not really. Like
high fashion.
You wear them for fucking leather for being on a motorbike and things like
that. Do you have some shoes? You have some fucking sweet ass kicks?
Well, I also have wingtips.
Okay.
That's my fancy shoes, wingtips. Okay. Old-fashioned. That shit's amazing. Love wingtips.
I kind of want to be, like, more into that stuff, like watches and shoes and, like, some other kind of classy things that can be, like, you know. I know people look at shoes. Like, people look and see how clean shoes are and stuff like that. People are, like that, yeah. You know? And my shoes, I never clean them, and I have, like, the ones I currently have, they're, like, white rubber sole around the outside, and I know that shit is just, like, yellow and brown and yeah. Fucking ugly looking. People are just like, this guy didn't have any money. Like, this fuck, get out of here.
I mean, like,
get out of Target, go to Walmart.
I don't give a fuck what people think, but it does
no,
feel
for
damn
sure,
when
it's
you
not
get, when
that.
Get cleaned up and, like, go like a wedding, and it feels damn good to wear a sexy pair of wingtips. Like, it just feels good. It's just,
I mean,
they're nice,
some people care about shoes. Some people think Earth is flat. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people are fucking stupid.
Well, you know, there's another thing, the Peppermint Swirl.
Yeah.
When you see him, the way he dresses, you're like, well, motherfucker, I kind of want to have a little bit of that. You know, that guy is like a sharp dresser, dude.
Yeah, okay, so it's like, I mean, I can understand all that, but it's almost like looking, the grass is greener on the other side. You know, you don't look at the work it takes to, like, look that good, you know what I mean? Where, like, every day you're, like, cleaning your shoe multiple times.
Fuck no.
You're making sure not to, like, rub up on anything.
Ironing
like, it's
your
gonna
t-shirts.
Make, yeah. Stuff yeah. like that. It's like,
right.
No.
I just want to do, like, the 30%.
Just to go out and have a guy like one of us, have one of your friends, just scuff your shoe because it's too pretty.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
That. Probably be that.
I give a I can't. I've tried giving a shit about my shoes, and I can't. I physically give up to where I care about it for, like, the first couple weeks, and then I'm like, wait, I'm a fucking guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not
like,
the,
even,
not,
like your,
not,
even, like, your sweet pair of fucking Star Wars Vans, which are amazing.
Yeah, these.
But, like, yeah. Oh, you're wearing right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I saw a chick wearing the other day.
Shit, those are fucking so gone, dude.
Why would you not? That's like a shoe, like, some people go, like, oh, my God, this is so quick. Oh, we're special occasions. Like, no, that's a fucking sweet-ass shoe. But you're gonna wear it because it's a sweet ass shoe. Like, not
yeah.
like, oh, this is too fancy. I can only wear it sometimes and keep it clean. Like,
they also gonna, made more than one, which is nice.
How am I gonna get compliments on my shoe if I never wear them?
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. When I went to Disneyland, I wore my Ash Ketchum Pokemon hat and I wore my Stranger Things t-shirt. I got like 20 compliments on my hat and 10 compliments on my shirt. I'm like, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay. Just to go off on a weird tangent. So there was this article written by one of the guys from Fast Finance. And he was like, oh, how you should dress for the Vegas GP. And he does this long fucking article. And throughout the beginning, he's like, yeah, you should just wear, like, shirts with, like, you know, like, video game logos. And just get, like, some nice cargo shorts and, like, a backpack. And I'm thinking, like, what the fuck? And then pretty much halfway through the article, he's like, oh, yeah, don't do that. You should be wearing, like, nice, like, Dockers and, like, a polo shirt. I'm like,
did he write this just to, like, make money on the article? Because he didn't give a fuck?
I have no idea. But
he's like, oh, by the way, our weak sponsor is.
But basically, his first half of the article was just talking shit on most of the Magic community. Like, I don't get, I don't know. It might be, like, the middle school fucking kid in me, but, like, you're fucking lame if you're wearing, like, a polo shirt and, like, Dockers and, like, trying to impress people at a fucking Magic tournament. Like, just be yourself. Like, who are you trying to impress? I don't know. I was just like, wow, what a...
It's a weird thing. How about people just wear deodorant? And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, wear clean clothes.
How about smell?
Try not to have your ass crack out.
Yeah.
Have your ass crack.
Maybe,
or
maybe treat
do
it.
It so that we can do the reenact that
and
guy's photo shoot.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
Or just, you know, be nice to other people. That's good, too.
So let me finish this and that thing real quick.
All right.
So from there, when we first get there, and we went 2 days after Memorial Day, thinking, like, okay, it's probably a good time. People probably just came here for the weekend. Probably won't be too big of a crowd. And overall, we were fucking right. Especially the first couple hours. We walked in. First thing we did, we literally walked into Star Tours. No wait at all.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like, that's it. Throughout the day after that, it's an hour wait minimum. So we walked on to Star Tours, we walked on to Pirates of the Caribbean, walked on to Astro Blasters, and walked on, like, five fucking, like, rides or whatever before fucking, like, anything. Like, people were there. You have to wait in line for a half hour at a time. We walked in no more than a 5 minute wait for each of our first five rides. It was like, fucking A, this is incredible.
Did you take a picture with Chewbacca or Darth Vader?
We didn't get a chance. We didn't see Chewbacca walk around at all, and then Darth Vader was in a bunch of the shows. We never saw him walk around by himself.
Well, usually they're not walking around.
They
it's like
the,
up in
the museum.
Yeah. Okay. Which is not that. That's a fucking cool
It is.
Museum.
Yeah, that's where I took my Darth Vader picture.
Okay, well, we were running around doing all kinds of rides and stuff, so we did, gotcha. We did so many things that day.
Just gotta go back next weekend, that's yeah. it.
Yeah. So it was so a really good fucking too, time. It was pretty cool. And one of the useful parts for my son, too, is like as soon as we walked in, first off, Mickey Mouse is right there. So the first thing I have to do is fucking take a picture of Mickey Mouse and give him a hug. So nice. That was a great start. And after that, we got him a little map. And like, what 5-year-old can look at a fucking, what adult can look at an amusement park map, see where they are, and figure out the route to where to go next? Like, that's
your
just
kid,
like,
did your kid know
like,
it?
Yeah, he pulled the map out. He's like, we're right here, we're going to go this way. Like, we're telling him, we're going to go to this ride next. You go, okay, that's over here.
Dude, this little like, fucking genius.
Fuck? Like, it was the cutest shit.
His eyes roll back in his head and shit like that. He's like computing numbers, and then he's like, 20 degrees to the right, Dad.
Definitely.
Definitely.
So we did all kinds of fun shit. We probably went on tons of stuff and just a blast. And my son, being 5, I was, we're taking him on roller coasters. He's tall enough. I mean, 4 of the roller coasters. There's like a 42-inch limit.
Yeah, it's actually like, kind of low. Because we had like a 4-year-old with us last time I went, and I was like, are you really getting onto like the Cars ride and you're only like 4 years? You should just turn 4. I'm like, oh my God. It's fucking, I don't know. Yeah, that limit is low, I feel like.
So taking them on Matterhorn, and then I can't remember the name. My personal favorite ride is it's on like the old, you're on a train, it's like it's on the mountain ride, it's like a wooden train tracks kind of deal.
I don't know.
Like the Matterhorn.
No, that's the Matterhorn. That's the Yeti one. That's the ice mountain.
Yeah.
So like the western town, Frontierland mountain ride, whatever. So that's one of my favorite ones. So taking them on those things, like taking on the Matterhorn, like, that's kind of, that can be kind of scary for a little kid, especially Matterhorn, like nobody can sit next to him. That's a single person seater, like in a row. So I'm like, I sat in front, and he sat in the middle, and my wife behind me. And like, he went on it, and like parts where he got scared, like he jumping out on this and that. But like at the end of it, he's like, yeah, I got a little scared, but I really liked it. I'm like, good boy, this kid's gonna like fucking roller coaster. It was pretty cool. So a lot of fun there.
How old do you have to be to like go to Six Flags and ride all that shit?
I don't know.
I wonder how old.
Probably that's
be.
A.
I've been there once, and that's
9 or 10 maybe.
On one of the roller coasters on there is when like the fucking middle of the ride, the seatbelt hatch thing, the fucking lever, like popped open, like not like fully like open, but like halfway. So like, I'm doing loops and I'm almost falling out of the chair. I'm like, holding on to the fucking thing, going sideways, going, if I'm not holding on to this, I'm falling out of this fucking ride.
Dude, I had that happen on one of those ones that like spin. It's like the. Where there's like 4 arms and then that spinning and then there's like 4 little seats on each of those arms.
And those are spinning, yeah.
So I'm on one of those and I was maybe like 14 or something like that. And I guess I didn't lock the bar down for shit or something like that because my body started coming out underneath the bar and I had to like literally hold on and yell for the guy to stop. Where like I was actually like what you're saying, fucking started sliding and I hit the edge of it and I started sliding and then I had to just grab onto it. And be like, hey, and I'm like screaming fucking bloody murder, basically, for him to slow the thing down. But there wasn't like one of those little nylon, seatbelt things that go between your legs or something like that. It wasn't one of those, just a bar across, flat bar.
Yeah.
And I fucking, yeah.
That's one of the reasons
why. I was like way scared.
I won't go on rides where my feet are dangling. I just don't trust them.
Oh, yeah.
I not that I'm afraid of rides, but like, I don't know. I had to build up a tolerance throughout my lifetime to go on rides like that. So that's why it's pretty cool for my son to be ready to go. But I don't trust the rides where I'm fucking dangling. I'm
remember the zipper that we were in the cage? And it's like a two-person, to a little cage. It's like a little...
The one that whips around a little, like the race...
It goes vertically. It's like, you're in a little kidney bean-shaped cage. And it goes up, and while it's going up, it like just kind of spins at the wheel. It has like a little handle that you can pull back and forth and make yourself spin. I remember being in that thing, and I slammed my forehead against the cage, and I started bleeding. Like, I literally slammed my fucking head against the cage at the fair, so it wasn't a good ride.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
I fucking did that. And that was awful also. Like, I don't know how I get in these fucking predicaments, but it happens.
So, at one point, like, we're walking past the carousel, and there's, like, no line at all. So, he's like, let's go to the carousel real quick. So, we get on the carousel. He gets on the little horse. He's riding. I'm standing next to him, make sure he doesn't fall out kind of shit. And at this point, later on, so he's, like, half cranky, like, half excited, one of those little moments of being a little kid just a little bit. So he leans over to me to help him pick up, go on the ride. It stops. He leans over to me to help him, like, pick him up off the horse. So I pick him up. Well, I don't put him down right away. I start walking with him off the side of it, and he starts getting like all angry that I'm carrying him. And so I set him down. He turns and punches me in the nuts. I'm like, oh, you little fucking bastard. Jesus Christ.
Nice.
I love you, fuckhead. Jesus. Oh, I've got all pissed at him.
You little fuckface. Get back here.
In the middle of Disneyland.
yeah, exactly.
And then he got a Disney hat and got different gifts from my grandma.
Oh, did you got a little bag of goodies for us?
Well, not for you guys. Fuck
you guys.
Oh, come
on, for me.
But I got a sweet fucking Boba Fett, like, Day of the Dead type of fucking painting on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That pin. Is. Nice. Oh, yeah, it's out. A little Day of the Dead fucking graphics on it.
So that's going to go on my
you
vest.
You put that on your... Yeah, the vest. Yeah, that's sweet.
I think it's pretty
that's
sweet.
Dope. That's dope.
The other thing that's fucking cool as shit is these guys. So they're metal fucking yes. model kits.
And there's enough for the whole class, and he still
not
doesn't care.
Not for you guys, no.
See, this guy.
It was three for $40.
Oh, okay, well then. Yeah.
If they I were like $10, sure, I'll give you one. But, like, I don't know, man. Fuck you guys.
$13.33, though. We're not pushing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's hard to, like, show them. Right now, I haven't built them yet. So, I got the Millennium Falcon, Poe's X-Wing, and an AT-AT. And they're metal little figurines that you fucking, like, you don't have to glue them or solder them. You just literally fold them and, like, bend the tabs kind of thing.
Follow the instructions, and they create a little statue.
And they just looked, fuck, they have a little, like, a display MC, case like, above.
Yeah,
like,
these things look actually really badass.
I think you're going to love them, too.
I really wanted to get those when I was at Disneyland, but I was just like, I can't. Like, well,
luckily, it's like a my birthday too, since my son kind of thing. My mom bought it for me kind of things. So I'm like, sweet.
Nice.
I picked out one. My son picked out the Millennium Falcon. I picked out the AT-AT. And she's like, well, it's three for 40. I'm like, yeah.
Yes, they are.
But they just look absolutely incredible. You can go to like fastnations.com and look at what I'm talking about.
Ages 14 plus, which kind of makes sense because these things look pretty complicated.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah. That's why I haven't opened it yet.
Pretty so sure I'm going to fuck with
them. Like,
these
I'm like,
up.
I'm going to need like. 3 hours and make sure
nothing's yeah,
because I'm
going like
to take my time with this thing because it looks amazing and I don't want to fuck it up. But they're cool shit, metal fucking model kits of these things, and they just look amazing. The display case is like, wow, this is fucking cool. So yeah,
lovely.
That was a good time.
I want to build these now. Oh man, these are fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm going to bring them to the cats like next time I build them.
Oh, dude, give me the X-Wing so I can mount it on the other X-Wing.
Yeah.
By the way, do you remember when I hit it with the table?
It fall?
No, I didn't fall, but dude, I fucking knocked it off like off the wall partially.
The big X-Wing you have?
Yeah, Monday I went over to play some magic with hot sauce at his place, and we take the kitchen table into his man cave, and we'd like go in an awkward angle at this
baby
table.
Baby girl's home, you know, what are you going
to do? And he has that fucking X-Wing on the wall. We turn the corner, he snags it, because he's the one walking backwards next to his fancy shit, and snags
me.
It, almost the thing off the wall,
oh.
Almost breaks
it,
the Bill Murray phone
the
poster.
Wall anchors out, but, like, not all the way. I was like, oh, fuck, it did, like, a nice dive bomb.
Yeah,
and kind
was,
of
like, dangling.
Suspension, ching, 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 you know, that whole thing. Ugh. Oh, God. And it's not something that I can't buy it again. It's not money, it's just a dude's 6 weeks of his fucking time to make it, so, yeah, it's a little butt pucker moment. Anyways.
Butt pucker! So, yeah.
Magic stuff, right?
Magic.
I'm glad you enjoyed your fucking, your son enjoyed
it was
that
good.
Shit.
He had a great time.
Pretty important part of your life, or his life, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not a big,
your
like,
life, whatever.
Disney proponent and all that kind of shit. Like, my favorite part is, when he first walked in, the first thing he says, like, as soon as he saw Mickey Mouse, before seeing Mickey Mouse, but then he saw Mickey Mouse, whenever he first saw it, he goes, the first thing he wanted to do was go see Star Wars area. Like, that's the main thing he wanted to do. So most of our time, like, we went back and forth throughout the whole fucking place, like, over and over again. But overall, the biggest chunk of time was spent in the Star Wars area. Oh, and Astro Blasters was fuck. I was so proud of him. Went through that first time, and I, of course, ended up winning the overall score because, you know, two people in the seat, you compete at it. So, me against my mom and my wife and my son, I came in first both. We did it twice. I came in first both times.
Fucking brag
my
about
son
it.
Son came
dude.
In second place both times. I'm like, yeah, good boy.
Nice.
I was quite proud of him for beating my wife and my mom about it. So, yeah, that's it.
You know what? I knew when he was a young man, when he was a young lad, that he would one day grow up and beat your wife and your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was proud of him.
I knew it.
They're women. They're
aspirations, man.
When I looked him in the eyes that one time.
Everybody has goals, dude.
That one time when I snuck in his room, I looked him in the eyes.
Oh, my God. I hate you guys.
I knew he was going to...
I can't wait till you have kids.
Beat.
It's going to be great.
So hard.
Oh, man. I'm gonna come up with better ones. And then they're going to be worse.
Yeah, but I'm actually going to touch them.
No.
I'm not going to joke about it. They're going to feel my penis.
Well, not penis, dude.
No.
Start with your fingers, you idiot.
Well, I don't... I want to do permanent damage.
This is bad. What we're doing right now is real bad.
No wonder fucking Zuby gets more listeners than us. He doesn't talk about child rape in his fucking shows. He should, though. He should. You know, Zuby...
He's got like three kids, right?
Zuby, he's, If you happen to listen to his cast or like his cast, he's a real fucked up individual. And you don't get to see that side of him. So just know that there's a demented...
Super dark side.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
There's a demented, sick fucker. Behind that sweet persona.
Everything that
we all
say
have
about
dirty
all these
secrets.
Topics, he agrees with.
Yeah.
He's part of it.
He's feeding us the lines.
Yeah, he's on Skype right now listening and feeding his information.
We are his extension.
He's like our Jewish
side.
Writer.
And we're like...
He's our Jewish writer.
Zuby, enough with the dog dicks, bro. Like...
New subject.
Episode 50. Like, we're done, man. We're done, bro. New material.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's talk about some magic. I mean, first and foremost, we have some leaks, and I'm not sure exactly. Do you guys know the exact story of what happened?
The ones from today?
Yes.
The ones from today.
What I'm hearing is that Wizards accidentally posted them early.
Well, it was a French magic website that posted them as far as like something about their game day event coming up or whatever, and they had those three pictures on their game day. A calendar, event calendar thing or whatever. So that's what I heard it was.
A French WotC. It's still WotC.
Yeah.
Thought maybe there was like, I heard somebody say something about like a video and then Wizards didn't like completely take down the video. Like they took down the link, but they didn't like take down the like download link so you could still like go download the video.
Yeah, it could have been something like that.
I didn't look too in depth to like the roots. I just looked at the cards.
Either way, blame the French. That's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, well, always.
And so anyways,
nobody likes frogs.
We had three cards that were spoiled on June 1st, 2017. And who wants to take it over? We got three people here.
Nicol Bolas, God Pharaoh.
I vote for not doing salmon. Go on. What's up?
Salmon?
Salmon.
Did you call me
Samut? Samut.
Oh.
Not that one. So someone else take up.
Nicol Bolas, God Pharaoh. Four and Grixis, which is blue, black, red, if you didn't know, for a 7 loyalty planeswalker. +2, target opponent exiles cards from the top of his or her library until he or she exiles a non-land card until end of turn. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost. +1, each opponent exiles 2 cards from his or her hand. -4, Nicol Bolas, God Pharaoh deals 7 damage to an opponent or creature an opponent controls. -12, exile each non-land permanent your opponents control.
Yeah.
Fucking big daddy.
So 4 ability, big mana planeswalker. It's got 2 plus abilities, 1 minus, that's just removal, and then the ultimate, which is just super absurd. I mean, just exile every non-land permanent they your opponent's control. Like, it's everything. Like, commander style, you're just like, yeah, I'm just gonna keep your fucking lands, like, whatever.
I mean, good thing...
Armageddon, I don't know, whatever.
Good thing Ulamog is rotating out, so Marvel won't be as good. Oh, wait, fuck!
Well, so Marvel, this is gonna be good, right, with Marvel. Pretty good. But... The thing is with that is that this is not like I'm coming to come back and like win the game from this one card necessarily, because like Saffron Olive was talking about this card and he made a really good point about it, that the one you actually probably want to hit is more like Chandra, because that has that minus ability to just wipe the board real quick.
Right.
And this one doesn't. This one you can only pick away one creature. And so if they already have, you know, a board of creatures, then all you can do is, you know, take the chance and see if you can get maybe a creature off of the +2 and, like, get a defender for your planeswalker. Or you exile cards from your hand, which that doesn't matter at that point because you're behind. Or you can kill one creature with the, you know, 7 damage thing. So that's saying that as far as, like, you take the spin, they already have a board. This is kind of like you're getting to your last couple turns, whatever.
Right.
This doesn't do what Chandra does, or even Ulamog, because Ulamog creates a 2-turn clock and a blocker. An indestructible walker.
Okay,
so, very good card. I'm not saying it's not a good hit, because it's a great hit, but it's not like the hit.
Right.
What makes Marvel a tier one deck right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're behind, this isn't going to help you get ahead, but on turn four, you
Nicol
fucking
Bolas,
hit this.
So is fucking nuts, yeah.
And then you're for like, sure. good game. I mean, we can try and do the rest of it, but...
Yeah, and there's...
Are you sure you even want to do it?
There are chances where that +2 doesn't really do anything for you. Maybe it just... You know, cast a non-land card that's like an instant that is like a counterspell or some kind of thing that doesn't really do a whole lot. Then that could be where it sort of whiffs its way and then you're not really doing much. And then it's getting pinged down so you're never able to ultimate. So there are things that could go wrong with this. Kind of reminds me of the new Sorin, where it only targets one creature with its minus. And the plus only does damage to the player. So like it's the same thing. It's not seeing a lot of play because like it doesn't really... work with the entire board. It just does like one thing, and sometimes one thing's not enough, you know?
Right.
So, even like when you're playing against Karn, which is pretty similar to this, Karn only does one thing also. And yeah, turn 3 Karn is fucking insane, just like a turn 4 this would be insane. But when you're playing a late game and they already have 4 creatures out and all you can do is exile 1 permanent, your Karn's fucking dead and you're probably dead too. You know, Karn, even though it's amazing, still only does that one job. So, that's my point. Where, I guess like Elspeth, you know, the one that we had, the 6-mana one, that thing can take over because that, all those fucking blockers or just wiping the board, you know, you can pick either one. That's something that, like, really stonewalls opponents, where this one is fantastic, but I don't know, man. I feel like
your point isn't wrong about that, what your, that little point of being able to wipe the board, but how many plant borrowers are there that are fantastic that don't wipe the board? Like, I don't think that's a good enough thing to say this isn't a good card or something like that. So, like, the good points of this card, just I'm excited to play this guy. There's obviously a lot of power to him.
This card is insane.
Like, besides Marvel, fucking all. Marvel, like, that, you know, a control deck of this guy towards the top end, like, that's just going to be fun. The one thing I'm disappointed about with this card is that the theory of Dark Summonings, the card from from Amonkhet. No, it's from, what's the second one from?
Aether Revolt.
Aether Revolt, thank you.
You mean the one like the...
Yeah, Dark Summoning. So, that's the one where you cast it, and if it's in your graveyard, you cast Nicol Bolas, you can exile that card from your graveyard, and he comes in with an additional loyalty. So, the theory was, when you do that, like, the new Nicol Bolas is going to be, if you have Dark Summonings in your graveyard, and you exile it, it comes with an additional loyalty, be able to ultimate the turn it comes in. So... That's the only unfortunate thing. I was kind of excited about that possibility because I think
that card could be good, and like we're all excited that like this card is can't see play now, but later this card could be really outstanding. And then now this thing comes out, and you're like, this card doesn't one loyalty count. You're like, what's the point of that?
I know. I plan on building a deck with Nicol Bolas and
that going card.
It. I'm going to play that card for sure.
You're going to play that card for sure. Okay.
Cool. Because just for a flavor part of it, for one, I'm not saying I'm going to play like a 4 of that card, but like that card has definite power levels to it. It's just a higher mana cost situation. So
what's the card you're talking about?
Dark Summonings, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
It's like 2 in Grixis. Not Dark Summonings.
Dark Salvation?
Dark Salvation.
No, Dark Salvation is the zombie one. That's the zombie one. It's something like that, though. Don't worry about it, dude. It's some Revolt. Complicated fucking...
So it's like 2 in Grixis... Target player sacks a creature,
discards a card.
Then you can draw a card.
The one that foreshadowed the whole Nicol Bolas. Yes, exactly. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Bolas, Planeswalker, blah blah blah. But it didn't get that much better. I'm super excited to see you play it because I am down to see that card like go off as best it can. I'm actually pretty.
So that's
thrilled.
That's what I want to do. I want to build a deck around those two cards and go from there.
That sounds like a fucking plan to me. I like that a lot.
You know, I thought before like, my favorite removal. Is making people sacrifice creatures. I mean, obviously, there's other ways and they're more powerful targeting stuff, but I love building a deck that makes it so, like, they don't have a whole bunch of creatures and they have their one or two good guys that I want them to get rid of. And it's like, I don't care if you choose between either you only have one creature or you maybe only have two, and either one of those, I don't care if you're sacking.
You know what I'm sort of surprised about? That even, like, weird fringe Modo play, they have that one in a black enchantment that works with cartouches. That like they sack at your opponent's extra creature, then you play a cartouche, then you get that back to your hand. Like,
I was about to say like
that
those
card should be great, right?
Those two cards are both also going to go in this deck because I love that ability with it. So
that card seems like it should be played, man.
Guy, and this and that. So like, yeah.
Oh my god, unlimited, like, and you get some cartouches along with like two of those. It's like fucking endless sacrifices. Oh my god, the value and it's super cheap. Yeah, it's that card is. I don't know why I'm not seeing it in just like some budget fucking MTGO decks, but I'm not. I guess I got to do it. I guess I got to build it. I don't know.
Yeah, I get a little money and I want to build on to Joe. Make a budget deck for it too.
Homie guy over here got a bunch of fucking money today. What'd you sell? What was it again? My god, I can't think of what it is.
I can't think of
the
name.
It's like the command card, kind of the black one. It's the fucking the one that's played in Death Shadow and all that
card.
Shit.
Escalate?
The fuck is that card?
Dude.
Oh man, we're fucking.
I sold the memory of the card. It's the black Escalate where you discard and you get to do the extra options.
You want to help you guys?
Sure.
Collective Brutality.
Yeah. Collective Brutality. You anyways. Sure? I bought them when they were super cheap on MTGO when nobody was fucking playing the card around the time it came out. And so anyways, it got bumped up to like 12 and something.
1225 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
12 and change tickets. So I sold my playset off and got like almost 50 tickets for it. So I was like super stoked. And it's a lot easier for me to let go of cards on Magic Online than it is for actual cards because the whole collector bug and everything and, you know, having to, like, send them in and have the...
It takes away from your Grixis of Zombies now, man.
It does take away from the zombies, but 50 tickets? I don't give a fuck about my zombies for 50 tickets. So anyways...
Sold your soul.
There's other ways to get stuff in the graveyard.
So anything more about Nicol Bolas, though, about these abilities? Anything that's, like, really exciting about it? Or things you plan on hitting off of whatever the fuck?
I mean, I don't know. Like, for, like, a modern situation, that you know, for a deck, like a Grixis deck that's all about control stuff and doing late game and like doing the value of Snapcaster Bolt, obviously this is too much mana, but that possibility of doing a super grindy control Grixis deck, and then when you're already doing Snap, which you're doing little damages with Snap and Bolts, and they like drop this and burn him for seven could be a finisher.
Do you guys like Sorin Grim Nemesis?
I like it more than you do. I like it more.
Oh, no, I love it. I played it. Okay, no, I love that card.
Maybe it's Knife who hated on it. I like it more. No, you didn't like it at first.
No, fucking absolutely not.
For the ball part of it?
I played that shit in the very beginning. Like, my first MTGO deck I made
was. I know one of us was against it, and I know it wasn't me. So, I overall enjoy the card. Obviously, the power level isn't as high as other things, but in a general sense, I enjoy that card.
I thought that card was fucking great. But it's similar to this, I feel like. That's why I bring it up, so.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where it might not have a huge impact on the board right away, but
the deck it's going to is going to be a control deck. It's not going to.
And it's also a 7 fucking loyalty Planeswalker, and if you plus 2, it's going to be 9, and they're going to.
Look what Ugin's obviously different. You know, can board wipe and do shit, too, but I mean, like.
Ugin's better than most things, though. Like, Ugin is just ridiculous. Yeah.
Unless they're going to kill you the next turn, they're going after fucking Nicol Bolas, and that's buying you life. You know,
Lots of life.
So even though, sure, like Hot Sauce said, it doesn't wipe the board or this or that.
Like I said, this is all about Marvel. This wasn't about how good the Planeswalker is.
Right. But I think as maybe a one of in the Marvel deck, so it's a little bit more toolboxy than just straight up winning because of, you know, Ulamog's very unfairness, you know?
Or even for a standard deck, like, even if it's, you know, maybe you're playing Grixis Control, maybe you think this is too much of a mana, high mana cost. Control Mirror, this thing's a great sideboard card for that situation, because if you're coming in, you're plus one-ing and exiling two cards out of their hand, Control Mirrors are all about card advantage. You win Control Mirrors by having the better card advantage. This thing is probably just...
Planeswalkers are kind of hard for Control to remove anyways, so...
So that's just that plus two exile, or plus one exiling two cards out of the hand is a fucking great thing for that. And so, and like you said, the deck that this is going to be able to go into is a deck that you're going to be playing control, keeping the board state on a lower amount of creatures. You're going to be continuing to remove things off. And so, like that, like you said, seven loyalty is a big fucking thing.
It's like a really big, scarier Ashiok is what it is.
I loved Ashiok.
Yeah. Ashiok's a good card. 3-mana, man. Never underestimate that shit.
So, you know what? I'm going to go next. I'm going to go ahead and steal the glory.
Which means you know which one you're getting.
You know,
I'm not even going to do it. There's only two cards.
I'm just saying there's a sandwich, and I'm going to be the meat in the middle. And I'm talking about Samet the Tested, which is for 2 red and a green.
That big spark ignited.
For a broken Planeswalker. It starts out with 4
broken
loyalty.
Broken in a bad way. Go ahead.
Plus one.
I mean, fuck me, really?
Up to one target creature gains double strike until end of turn.
Remember Xenagos, the Reveler?
Yeah.
The god of Revels, I mean? Sorry.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was a good card. Thinking about shit like that, I'm like, man, this is not...
Let me just finish. Minus two.
One of the worst abilities on a Planeswalker ever?
How is this a minus? And two at that.
For Twin Bolt.
How is this not a plus, like, 7? It deals 2 damage divided as you choose among 2 target creatures or players. Or players. So there's
that's why it's a minus.
Commander, 1 each player. That's it. Yeah. No deal. Give this thing lifelink, you gain 2 life.
-7, search your library for up to 2 creatures and or planeswalker cards and put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Shuffle.
This is insane. I think ultimate is like fucking awesome. But that doesn't really matter when the rest of it is like really not good. So the double strike, they have a card that's 1 red. That just gives a sorcery speed card that gives target creature double strike till end of turn. And then they have the other 1-mana red card, which is that one.
2 mana for Twin Bolt.
No, well then they have the old one, as I'm talking about. There's a modern playable one that's 1 red, sorcery speed.
Fork Bolt
or whatever, that does exactly the same text as this. So that's 2 mana right there. We're going here. And then there's minus that you'll never get to because it's just too many plus ones. And you're not doing anything.
It's not even like protection for itself. Why can't it like the plus one doesn't like going to until your until like your next
saying,
turn.
Exactly that. Double strike till your next
you
turn.
You can't even
do that.
With the double striker.
Fuck, dude.
Like, there's so many ways you could make this card a little bit better. Or I'm sorry. A little bit less worse. You could take one generic mana off of it, make it three mana, and it's still like, eh, you know?
It'd be way more playable, though. I have three mana, it'd be way more playable.
Or you could, instead of a plus one minus two, it could be a plus two minus one, and have the double strike be the minus and have the, you know, the sweet twin bolt be the plus two. Anyways,
that is right. How is that a minus almost? Like, it's like, that's like, come on.
It's like, it's maybe like you go into combat and then second main, you're like, got him, you know, like when they block your shit, you're like, what up, fucking gut shot.
I'm depending on you blocking and not realizing I can twin bolt two of your guys up the
yeah, right exactly. Now. Like, there's these moments of, it's like a combat trick because nobody's going to give a fuck about when they see that. They're like, all right, I guess I just.
Oh, I lost two tokens. You know. Oh, I have hidden stockpile. I get one token back.
Hey, you know when you're playing Gruul and there's those times where you just can't get that last 2 points of damage in? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's move on.
Oh, yep.
Bantu's Last Reckoning.
Woo!
One black, three mana. Get this, guys. It's a sorcery that says destroy all creatures. Three mana wrath. And that's it. Unheard that's all of. The text. That's it. All done. So Wizards has knocked it out of the park. This is an ultra mythic.
And this will be banned forever, on 2 weeks
banned
in.
And everything. No, it has some other text that says lands you control don't untap during your next untap steppy poo. So
I think this card is fucking amazing.
So
you gotta play around on the time walk of it a little bit, but
what do you think about main shit. Deck? And what would you do main deck of this?
I'd play a Nicobolas in my control deck.
Yeah, you play it in a control deck, and you don't play it on three unless you absolutely have to going up against red deck wins.
Yeah.
And you play it on, you know, five when they commit enough to the board and you get enough value for it.
Yep.
And then you can leave up some magic mana, just in case. So if you're at five, you spend three on this, clear the board, you have... counterspell up, they play something, okay, you don't want to counter it, or you can't counter it next turn. So it kind of it's super tempo, even though it's tempoing you, it's tempoing the entire game, it's tempoing your opponent, which, it's tempoing you
in a control deck. That's fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine for a control deck, because guess what, we want to fucking stall the board out and just, you know, slow shit down until we can get to Nicobolas or whatever,
like
the
said,
fuck
if you
else.
You absolutely have to counter something that's too, like, it's game breaking, they're gonna win, you counter it. Otherwise, you just go, okay, I have a kill spell in hand for that creature, that big creature they just played. I mean, you play around it like you. A lot of control decks will go to the next turn, leave up counters, and people don't, if they don't have to counter anything, they use a draw spell. You just don't use a draw spell to make sure you don't time walk yourself out of the turn. This card is fucking great.
I think this card is like, I think it's. You know, whoever developed it, they just did a good job, like, putting the downside in there that just makes enough sense for, like, you're getting this a turn early, but you're also removing your next turn. Like, that's totally awesome. And, yeah. Like, I totally agree that, I'm thinking it's more of a sideboard card, unless there's just nothing else but that you can play instead of this, because five mana wraths are, like, obviously very, like, slow. That's, like, obviously two turns late, but I would think this is more, like, sideboard card against what you're saying, against, like, decks that are just like hitting you for fucking 8 damage and by turn 3 or 10 damage by turn 3, and you have to play something like this no matter, you just have to, because you have to, and if you hit this on turn 3 and they've already hit you for a bunch and then you kill, you know, they have 1-2 cards left in hand, then you're in a great spot because you still have 5 cards and you're playing control. And so now once you get onto turn, you know, 4, 5, and 6, control decks will totally take over all those really, really fast aggressive decks. I think it's really good against, like, so good against any all-out one-dimensional aggro decks. This is just, like, ridiculous against those.
I think this is easily main deckable.
Yeah, I think it'll see main deck play, too.
I mean, if you're playing the right deck with it, and you're playing control like this, and playing it in a Nicobolas control deck, I'm playing this main
so
deck.
So what do you think about, like, this along with, say, Mana Rocks, like Caravan or Improvised cards? So you're playing against, you know, playing with Inspiring Sanctuary or whatever. So now that... Yeah, you don't have as much mana, but even with those turns off, because you know that you're playing three of these in the main deck, those next turns you can still be able to tap your clues or any other artifacts or any of that shit you're playing and make sure that all your turns you still have mana open, basically.
Improvise, I don't think so. I don't think you can build a legitimate control deck with that kind of artifacts in this current standard. You can do a lot of aggressive things. You can do a lot of fucking stupid things with improvised stuff. but I don't think you're building a control deck around a bunch of artifacts.
Gotcha.
So as far as the caravan, I believe that's a possibility. Again, to find the right creature, so that's a crew 3, and you're probably only having one creature.
I'm wondering how to take away the downside, at least in a little smidge, you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to get around.
In standard or any format, I guess in older formats, there's going to be a lot more shenanigans you can pull. But in standard, it's going to be Mana Rocks. And, I mean, the best we have right now is the Cultivator's Caravan, or the one that provides two colorless generic mana. What's that one
called? Hedron Archive?
Yeah, Hedron Archive.
I also still have that little member, you guys forget, the 01 that makes a colorless mana.
But it just destroys all.
Okay, sorry.
Right. So,
the mana. Float it.
Yeah, no mana dorks, nothing like that. So it's going to be... Hey, guess what? Finally, we have a use for Tezzeret's plus one. Hey, now.
There you go. Hey, that's in the colors, baby.
Yeah, right. I'm just trying to think
of ways. Demir all the way for life. Grixis is okay, too.
To make this main deckable, I'm trying to think of ways to get the downside not to be so rough. Because I feel like, let's say for some reason you're playing against whatever deck and it's turn 8, and then you got to use this, like, I know that like it's only tapping 3 lands, that you know, whatever, but it still like kind of gets your shields down. And I don't like that. I love it on like the turn 3, turn 4, but I'm wondering if like it would just be too painful on turn 7 and 8 where you're just really going shields down over this thing. I know that you're not going against haste creatures probably, so you probably do have a turn off where they're just going to throw shit on the board and then it's no big deal. But
well, it's like, I'm still just kind of like wary. Planeswalkers landing, if you want to counter something like that, you just play with To the Slaughter on your deck too, so you can make them sacrifice. Because the creatures are now gone, they play a Planeswalker in response after that, you know, your next turn after that, after your untime lock.
Yeah, that's To the Slaughter is a good idea. I like something like that.
So
to get back at that, because they're probably waiting for you to do something like this, and they're like, oh, okay, it's my time now. I can finally, this next turn for me is going to be awesome, even though my shit died. I can still do what I want, you know, without them being able to. They can counter one thing, but then they're really taking a turn off. You know, no mana at all next turn.
Also, there's two ways you can. If we're playing this on turn 5 or 6, we're gonna have a little bit of mana open. So either you can save that for a counter spell, or you can use that mana on your next turn. So there's like two ways to kind of mitigate that. Mm-hmm. If you are playing it on 3, it's gonna be a little iffy, but. In the later game?
But even then, like, what are they gonna, if it's turn 4 for them, they're dropping, what, one creature maybe? Maybe two if they're playing little tiny guys? But I mean, like, so, like, this kind of deck's going to have a lot of kill spells in it.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just think maybe you take one hit from it, but that's better. Taking one hit from one creature that's, like, 3-4 power is better than having 3 or 4 creatures coming at you with, you know, like, hitting here for 7-8 damage.
I mean, this is... I don't think you can just be as willy-nilly with this wrath as you would other wraths. You know,
but dude, we have Toxic Deluge in standard now. Yeah. And instead of life, it's just your lands don't untap for one turn. But Toxic Deluge is like a fucking legacy card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like now we have this in standard that's pretty similar.
So we also have like a possibility spoiler one we don't know about either. That's also a 4-mana wrath. Like I don't know if that's real, but remember you guys saw that?
No, they debunked that.
They did debunk it?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear about them debunking it.
It's also like the name of the set, which is like, I don't know. It was Hour of Devastation was the name of the card. Also, name of the set. It's kind of like.
All right. Well, I hadn't heard of any debunked. That's why I wanted to bring it up just in case.
I know what you're saying. I was just like, that card looked
fucking amazing. But
yeah, that was. They said they're going away from. It said destroy all creatures, but they lose indestructible.
Lose indestructible. So it was like a better damnation.
Yeah, better damnation.
Because nowadays regenerate isn't really a thing. It used to be more, but indestructible with the gods and everything. And the reason we also thought it might be real is because in Theros, when they had like the gods, they had an answer card like with Deicide, where you could kill the indestructible gods. So we were thinking, like, well, this has a legitimate chance of being real because of making, like, the gods lose indestructible. So I hadn't heard of being debunked yet. I'm not surprised, though.
But I mean, this is just as good, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, the Wizards talked about going away from 4-mana wrath completely now. So that's why that one was even more like, really? But this thing is, you know, 3-mana wrath that comes a downside.
They followed the world, though, dude. They're like, no more 3, no more 4-mana wraths.
We'll hit you 3,
and then we'll do 2 next year.
Now you have to be a smart player, learn how to tempo and play it correctly. But here you go, a 3-mana wrath.
I think it should have said untap all your lands if it was me, but that's fine. Okay. I mean, I guess you just...
Let's get all the things.
You know.
It'll be interesting to see how people try to minimize the downside on this card.
That's what I'm hoping to see
If you build a deck around it correctly, I don't think it'll be that difficult. I think when you go to play it, unless you're in a dire position where you absolutely have to go for it and play this card and you're already way behind, most of the time you're going to be controlling the board enough that, you know...
this is just going to be played correctly and nicely.
Or you could play a black green deck with a lot of fucking mana dorks, and then once you fucking get like three mana dorks out, you can just fucking tap them to fucking cast the spell, you know. Yeah, and then you still got mana open next turn.
Or black green cryptothrite.
You only have to waste three cards to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Perfs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's pretty exciting.
You know, a card is super powerful. I'm like beyond thrilled they fucking printed something this powerful. It's just ridiculous. And this in foil is going to be fucking awesome, too. It's going to hold a high price tag, I believe, for a long, long, long time, you know? I can see this being playing modern as well because of planeswalkers or just alternative win condition stuff that you're not really... I don't know. I just think it's going to be really, really good.
Really, really good. Is there any other magic stuff we got to talk about? I mean, it's been a little bit of a slow week. I'll just say real quick
that there was the Commander Anthologies that's coming out later this year. They announced the four decks, and like Marin is one of them, and there's like one from each year, basically.
Right.
So
there's Derevi, it doesn't really matter, but it's Marin.
I don't know why you're saying Derevi just sounds retarded.
Yeah,
right.
Stop saying that.
Derivy.
Derivy.
Stop it. Yeah, you sound like a handicapped person. Stop it.
Oh, Riri? Okay.
So yeah, the value of it, it's like there's one... You said that the commanders are now foil, which they weren't foil before.
Correct.
That's a benefit. Otherwise, there's not really a lot of value in the set, except for there's one of the old commanders, like the first commander set, like 2012 or 2013 or whatever.
Yeah, it was in the...
First one came out.
Yeah.
They have a commander that isn't... I think it's... I don't know. I think it's like way expensive, like $40 or something for this one card. And so now they're reprinting that. So it'll drop the price of that, a little angel? Bit, I think. Yeah, it's the angel. Okay, yeah. So
that's the one where when you attack, you can put an angel from your hand on the battlefield, tap an attacking angel.
Exactly.
Well.
So that one, it's like $40 or $60 or something like that. So that's like the only card that I think is even over.
That is the angel commander.
Yeah, and it's like, I think it's only, like the rest of the deck, nothing's over $10.
Isn't it like
over...
angel or dragon or
demon
or something?
I think, yeah, it's something more than just angels, but I don't remember exactly. But yeah, I think it's like three different creature types.
Yeah.
So that card is amazing. So like a 2/2 flyer for four, I think is what it is. So that card's fucking awesome. But the rest of it, as far as value-wise, because a lot of these sets that have been, we're just used to having a $100 product have $200 in value. And then, of course, just... it'll go down because of, you know, reprints, then that $200 will turn into $120 probably or $110 or something. But right now it seems like they're selling a $100 product or whatever the price is for a, you know, $80. You know, after everything's said and done, it'd be like $80 or $90, I feel like. So
yeah,
you're getting everything at once, which is cool, not just having to fucking pick apart TCG Player for a month, but it still doesn't have the value.
Underwhelming.
Yeah, it's underwhelming because we're just used to so much fucking crazy shit lately.
And you said... like, the main, like, chase commander card, besides that angel, that's, like, only ever printed in commander is Flusterstorm. That card is super expensive, and I believe you said that that's not the set that's printed in.
It's not printed.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not that's not in there. I thought
so
that
like, they
should have
done that because
either that or
that's
true name,
the only
but
Flusterstorm's been printed in, and that card is legacy played, and I think it's, like,
no Flusterstorm, no True Name Nemesis. It didn't have any of those fucking chase cards in it.
I'm just looking forward to getting my hands on a foil Mirren of Clan Nel'thoth.
That'll probably be pretty expensive, too.
But you're not buying the anthology to get it. You're buying
TCG. Oh, fuck no. I'm buying the singles.
You're just hoping it doesn't go, like, too far up to get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the value's got to be somewhere in that set. And I don't know, like, the amount of the print run.
I imagine foil mirrors are going to be pretty fucking expensive.
Man. Yeah. So we'll have to see. But I'm not excited to get the whole thing.
I'm not going
to
get it. I already kind of made my mind on that. I'm not doing it. Those
little health spin down counter things.
Those
are
dope. Those are dope.
Sweet.
They do sell those like already. I don't know who sells them, but those are. You know, you can still buy them. Yeah. You know, regardless. Yeah, but yeah, that's Magic.
Anything else? Nothing. We got nothing. That's it.
My son's birthday. I didn't get into Magic this week. Really.
That's my mama.
That's my mama. So go ahead and look us up on iTunes. I was going to mention because I downloaded Stitcher. And then I was like, well, why the fuck can't I find us on Stitcher? It's because we have to submit the RSS feed to them. So maybe we will be on Stitcher soon.
Okay, I can do that. That's what I had to do for Google Play. So, yeah, that's fine. I can throw that on there.
Yep. So throw just that on the docket. More ways to listen to us. Also, you can find us most days on Twitter being hilarious, talking shit, and maybe showing our genitals. Who knows?
Most expensive card in Amon Kit right now? $11.
And guess it what is? Card that is?
Guess.
Gideon.
Nope.
Bantu.
Nope. Liliana.
Of course.
Yeah, Liliana. Gideon is now $10. Ronas is now $9. Nissa is like $6, $7. As for total, it's like $6. Either way, like, bottom of the first page, we're getting down to like $4 already. Like, it's not even.
But that's what I've been doing. Like, we've talked about before, like, standard being like too expensive, like, you know, Jace from Prodigy times. Now, with them printing all these masterpieces and sets, like, standard decks and boxers are just being sold like a motherfucker. People are wanting those. Even though, like, these ones aren't very good, they're still being bought up because of the special fucking masterpiece series cards.
And, I mean, standard isn't. It hasn't fully recovered from. It's the
two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, it hasn't recovered.
What's up, Wizards? Are you smoking crack?
We made a live song.
You guys, that was good. I like
it. He pulled the guitar out. We had a full like duet like twice. It was great. It worked out really nice, actually. I think he started the line, and I finished it, and he's like, he enjoyed it too.
It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. But Standard hasn't fully recovered from all that shit yet. If you go look at some of the tournaments from the past like week or two, like Modern, the turnout for tournaments has been really good, and then the Standard tournaments just like bleh, you know, whether they're SCGs or whatever.
Because flipping the coin is not good for Magic, and that's what Marvel is.
Well, there's a lot of things going into why maybe Standard is cheap right now, and I think. One, Marvel. Two is the, you know, one step forward, two steps back fuck up of WotC's addendums and the masterpieces and such. So, I mean, it's a good time to buy cards, not necessarily play Standard, but if you're looking to, you know, like, get into Standard.
Get in before they shoot up after next fucking turn when some other deck finally is able to win against Marvel or something. That's
yeah.
Fancy thing.
So, always, you know, I'll give them a little shout out. MTG Goldfish, they have a little section called Movers and Shakers, and it shows the cards that have gone up in price and gone down in price daily and weekly.
So I got another one for you. MTGStocks.com is what I use.
Aha.
So they have, when you click on their page, there's an interests tab at the very top, and you click that, and it shows all the big percentages, about 50 cards, I think, for the day, and then 50 cards for the week. So I check that every day to do my, you know, speculation, buying, purchasing, selling, all that kind of shit.
Is it broken down by format?
It is broken down by... I believe you can. Okay. I just look at all of them, though.
Gotcha.
Because it doesn't do... The thing is with some of the other sites, they will kind of... The MTG Stocks doesn't do all the false shit. So, like, all the weird antiquities spikes and all this weird shit where it's like... This thing went up fucking double price for a day, and then it went down double price for a day. They don't do that. They just, like, yeah, eliminate those prices altogether. So even though they do still have Antiquities, Legends, all the weird shit and the old shit or whatever, but it only will be posted there if it's like, yeah, this is real. And yeah, they believe it's real. Because a lot of that shit fluctuates like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So it makes, like, no sense. So when I look at, not MTG Stocks, but the one that Fast Finance guys do. What is that site? MTG Price?
Yeah.
That one is a fucking disaster, I feel like. So I'm sorry for anyone that, you know, trusts that website, because I like those guys a lot, but that website really, when I look at, like, the movers and shakers on that website, it's always way skewed out shit that's only going to be relevant for 5 hours. And, like,
right.
So I can never get a proper list of, yeah, what's actually moving.
Right.
And so I use MTG Stocks. That's my site to go to.
You see the... Kaladesh Swamp, not Kaladesh. The what was that before that? Fucking the Innistrad, Shadows of Innistrad, like Swamp, shot up from like being 10 cents for this one basic Swamp to it shot up 250% or whatever to be like 94 cents or something on that day. It was like, someone's like, what the fuck is going on with this Swamp? Why is this going?
Oh, so that was like the highest percentage. It's like hundreds and hundreds of percent.
Yeah. One person bought him on TG because they liked that land art and was like, oh, this is fucking up.
Like, yeah,
sell, buy, sell.
Nobody's gonna go in there and spend a dollar because it's not even that good art. There's one person liked it.
Pros are playing it.
Yeah, weird shit. So Anyways,
all our stuff is in the show notes. Look us up, hit us up on Twitter, leave some reviews, shake our hands, kiss some babies, and that's it for episode 111.
Come out to 86 Fix.
Yeah, come out to the show.
Is it 112?
Come out to the shit show. Is it 112?
Yeah, it's 112.
Because you got 111 in the pocket, and then now we're on 112.
Ah, the pocket.
Bing, bomb, boom, ba, ding, da, dum.
Let me write down on this paper that's not, it doesn't matter anymore. Let me put two there instead of one. Yeah, so I'm Life City.
So I'm Crow.
And I'm a hot sauce, flat earth scientist.
We'll check you guys on the flip side of
the mystery.
Planar flat.
So, yeah, I'm going But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of day. Everybody is slaves, only some are aware that the government releasing poison in the air. That's the reason I collect so many guns in my lair. I ain't never caught slipping, never underprepared. Yeah, they shade sign on me, they just spray it proudly. George Bush, the grandson of Aleister Crowley. They want you to believe the lie that the enemy's Saudi. The enemy ain't Saudi, the enemy around me. It's fluoride in the water, but nobody know that. It's also a prominent ingredient in Prozac. For real? How could any government bestow that upon people who believe in political throwback? That's not all that I'm here to present you. I know about the Black Pope in Solomon's Temple. Yeah. About the Vatican assassins and how they will get you. And how they clone Barack Hussein Obama in a test tube. It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now. And no one's talking about how they made us modern day slaves. And everybody's just walking around, out in the clouds. I wanna wake up to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end. Whoever built the pyramids had knowledge of electrical power. And you know that that's the information that they suppress and devour. Who you sick the motherfuckers that crashed in the tower? Who you sick that made it turn into ash in an hour? The same ones that invaded Jerome. The ones that never told you about the skeletons on the moon. Yeah, the ones that poison all the food you consume. The ones that never told you about the Mount Vesuvius tombs. The bird flu is a lie, the swan flu is a lie. Why would that even come as a surprise? Yeah, the polio vaccine made you die. It caused cancer and it cost a lot of people their lives. Do y'all know about Bohemian Grove? How the world leaders sacrifice the children in robes? Lucifer is God in the public school system. I suggest you open up your ears and you listen. It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now. And no one's talking about how they made us modern day slaves. And everybody's just walking around, out in the clouds. I wanna wake up to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of day. The greatest hypnotist on planet Earth is a oblong box in the corner of the room. It is constantly telling us what to believe is real. If you can persuade them that what they see with their eyes is what there is to see, you got them. Because they'll laugh in the face of an explanation that portrays the bigger picture of what's happening. And they have.